Saga Egmont presents Something Quite Beautiful, written and read by Amanda Prowse. For my readers, who every time they fall into a page with my words on it, form a literary bridge from my mind to theirs, how I love these little walkways where we meet, no matter the weather. Something Quite Beautiful. Chapter 1. The small, square, blacked-out windows on either side of the wagon were set too high to offer a view. A minor irritation for many, but for the three prisoners ensconced inside, it was the start of their punishment. They sat in individual cages in the back of the truck, separated by half a metre. The diminutive Warren Binns was quiet, thoughtful, as he tried to calculate if they would pass his native Sheffield on their way north. He took a deep breath, trying to breathe in a clue as to his whereabouts, hoping for a whiff of something familiar, something that meant home. There was nothing but the stench of sweat that emanated from all occupants of the van. It was cold outside, but with the heating on full blast, they were uncomfortably hot inside this airless metal box. The enclosed space reeked of misery and desperation. Warren closed his eyes and pictured the terraced house in Weaver's Row. He wondered if he would ever get the chance to unlock the front door again, now that the key nestled somewhere among his bagged and tagged belongings, attached to the keyring his mum had bought him. A picture of a large trophy inscribed with the words, Number One Son. A little sliver of cut and shaped brass that meant so much more than the sum of its parts. Warren clung to the knowledge that somewhere he belonged and was loved. Weaver's Row was the one place on the earth that he could reach into the fridge or run a bath without consideration or needing permission. He not only missed the occupants of Weaver's Row, but also the little life that he had led inside his childhood home. He longed to walk through the green front door after a day at college or a shift at the quarry and make a brew in the tiny kitchen before collapsing in the lounge and warming his feet in front of the 3-bar electric fire, stretching out in the sturdy frame chair on the sagging cushions that used to belong to his granddad and had the perfect dimensions for an afternoon snooze. He pictured the swirly patterned carpet that had worn to nothing where it was most trodden, and the crowded cupboard under the stairs, which smelled of olden days and memories. He had hidden in it as a child, playing among the meters and the old Quality Street tins full of delicate glass Christmas decorations and tinsel in gaudy shades. In later years, he hung his leather biker jacket here, on a hook next to a Hoover, and stowed his toolbox on the floor, his mum's shopping trolley stacked on top of it. What would happen to his stuff, now that they knew he wasn't coming home? Would they throw it away? He shook his head. It didn't really matter, not in the grand scheme of things. Warren pulled at the bar that was joined by chain to the loops around his ankle, and succeeded in pulling his manacled hands to within 4 inches of his face. He laughed. The itch on his nose would have to stay put. His feet, similarly anchored inside their rubber sandals, were hot and itchy against the vinyl matting. "What's so funny, bud?" Warren stared straight ahead, ignoring the posh, chinless twat sat to his right. He wasn't anyone's bud. The guy didn't take the hint. "Oh, I see, the strong, silent type. It's all good. I'm Henry, in case anyone is interested." "No one is interested, so shut the fuck up." A burly skinhead growled in a cockney accent from behind Henry's head. "That's good advice from your friend." The portly, sweating security guard, perched on the narrow bench between the cages, looked Henry in the eye. "He ain't my fucking friend." It was torturous enough to be so physically confined, knees pressed against the metal screen in front of him, shoulders horribly compressed inside the box, without being lumped together with a long-haired dickhead who sounded like he'd swallowed a silver spoon. The guard pointed at the skinhead.